Lord, we thank you. Once again, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your gift of salvation that you've freely given to all those that will receive it. Lord, may everybody here receive it, because it doesn't do any good unless it's received. Lord, open your word for us this morning. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us. Touch your people, Lord. May everything here be of you. To you and for you and from you. Lord, help us to remember that it's always all about you. Open up heaven for us that we may receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23 through verse 32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. This morning, we're going to do what Christians have done for 2,000 years. This is what we do every month on the first Sunday of the month. This morning, we remember Jesus and what he did and why he did it and what it means to us. Some people feel that this should be done every day or every Sunday. Some people go the opposite direction. They say we should only do it every 6 months or so. But if we do it too often, then it becomes just common, doesn't it? And if we do it, if there's too long between times we do this, then it kind of loses a lot. It becomes unimportant to us. So we think that once a month is just fine. It's something we look forward to. Communion, or the Lord's Supper, or the King's Table. Communion is a symbolic act that calls to mind the death, the resurrection, and the promised return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Communion is a time of remembrance. That's why Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. You know, it's interesting because the supper, the meal that they were having was a Passover meal, which commemorated the Exodus out of Egypt. But yet it's always been about Jesus Christ. It's always been about the Lamb that was slain, whose blood was put on the doorposts of their house. We're called to apply that blood to the doorpost of our heart. There are three things we're going to look at about communion. Number one, it's a time of commemoration. The word commemorate means to honor the memory of somebody or something in a ceremony, to serve as a memorial to something. So what do we commemorate? We commemorate his suffering. Verse 24 and 25 talk about the broken body and the blood of Jesus. Both of these terms tell of his suffering and his pain. Jesus suffered at the hands of man. Isaiah 52:14 says, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, in his form more than the sons of men. You couldn't even recognize that he was human. That's how bad he was beaten. Can you imagine what the devil would do to Jesus Christ if he had the opportunity to beat up on him? You've probably seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, the Mel Gibson movie. But I think it was worse than that. Jesus also suffered at the hands of God. Isaiah 53:1-12. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors on the cross. The cross. You know, I went to a Messianic congregation for 5 years, and there's several reasons why I stopped going there. One of them seemed to be the negative attitude they had towards the cross. I was asked, if Jesus died from a shotgun, would you wear a shotgun around your neck? He didn't. A shotgun would have been too easy. That wouldn't have been as painful as what he went through. He picked the most painful death that there is. He picked that way to die. And the cross was prophesied all throughout the Bible. You read Psalms 22. It talks about crucifixion. You've probably heard the word excruciating. That means a lot of pain, doesn't it? You know where we get that word? That word comes from the word crucifixion. That's where it originated. We commemorate his sacrifices. John 1:14 tells us that he took the form of man. He lived a perfect life. And he died in our place so that we could be saved from hell. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. We don't seek him. He seeked us. If it isn't for the leading of the Holy Spirit, we don't come to Jesus. We can't. Philippians 2:5-8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of a God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, he sacrificed what he had in heaven to come to do this. And to do this, he suffered shame, rejection, poverty, pain, and death for us. Number two, remember there's three things we're going to talk about. This is number two. Communion, it's a time of celebration. The word celebration means to mark a special occasion or day by ceremonies or festivities. It comes from a Latin word that means to attend a feast. Does that look like a feast? It is. It is a feast. What do we celebrate? We celebrate his compassion. Notice in verse 24, the words, for you. For you. The words for you should remind us that what Jesus did and what he suffered was because he loves us. How strong is his love for us? Paul talks about how wide it is and how long it is and how deep it is and how high it is. Four different directions. It's a picture of a cross. That's a symbol of his love. We celebrate his conquest. By dying on a cross, that was a conquest. He conquered the grave. He conquered death. 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is thy sting? O grace, where is thy victory? And he also conquered the devil. We celebrate his coming. Verse 27 talks about until he come. He's coming back. He said he's coming back. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I come back, I will receive you to me. Or when I come back, I will receive you to me. 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That love his appearing. Does that mean they're going to love his appearing when he comes back? Yes, of course it is. But it's also now. Do you love his appearing today? Of course you do. We're waiting for it, aren't we? We're anticipating it. Sometimes I look at the sky and I just imagine all those clouds and everything up there just tearing, just splitting. And him coming through, riding on his white horse. What a day that won't be. Number three, communion is a time of contemplation, which means to think about something seriously and at length. Verses 27 through 32, I'm going to read it again. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. There's two things we have to contemplate. We must contemplate our salvation. Who is Paul writing to in this chapter? He uses words like us and we. So he's talking about himself and fellow believers. He's not speaking to the unsaved. Who is this for? No one knows anyone else's heart. We can say you're welcome to participate, which we do, but really it's up to each one of us to ask ourselves, am I welcome to participate? We're glad you're here. But if you are still lost in sin, headed for hell, you have to decline partaking. Or you need to make your peace with the Lord first. That's all part of verse 28. Examine your heart. Where are you with the Lord? Do you have unconfessed sin in your life? Do you have aught against your brother or sister? Have you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? As I said, you have to receive that gift. Otherwise, it's just an unopened present underneath the tree, right? I shouldn't use that analogy maybe, but it's one everybody understands. Never had any unopened presents under my tree. It's a gift. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, you can come to Jesus and be saved right now. That way you can partake of this. And I encourage you to do so. How do you come to Jesus and be saved right now? It's really very simple. It's probably about the easiest thing there is. I'm going to say a prayer and I'm going to ask everybody to repeat it. But I want it to be repeated from your heart. I want it to be sincere. I want it to be real. If we don't take our salvation seriously, then why should God? So I'm going to invite everybody to pray this after me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I haven't lived for you. I ask you to forgive my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to be my Savior. And I thank you, Jesus. Did you mean it? The second thing we must contemplate is our sanctification. Let's look at verse 27 again. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. We're all to blame, aren't we? Who crucified Jesus? I did. We all can say that, can't we? It was my sins. He willingly went to that cross. But it was my sins that caused him to go there. There's one word in the verse that we need to pay particular attention to, the word unworthily. If we take of the bread and cup unworthily, we are guilty of not reverencing his body, which can bring God's wrath upon us. To not discern the Lord's body is treating it as empty and meaningless. We're no better than those at his crucifixion that mocked and jeered him. We're told in verses 28 through 31 to examine ourselves. Do we need to confess anything to him? Is our heart right before him this morning? Just as it is very easy to receive him as our Savior, it's just as easy to restore our relationship with him. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's where verse 28 comes in. We're going to take a few minutes to examine our hearts. You know, my mother used to say, wash your hands and come to dinner. Well, that's close. What the Lord's saying is, wash your heart and come to dinner. I'm going to ask John and Ricky to hand out the elements. And while they're being handed out, I'm just going to ask everybody just to quietness and just talk to the Lord. Examine your heart. Draw near to him. Did we miss anybody? Did everybody get served? Thank you, gentlemen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this bread. We thank you for what it represents, your body that was broken for us. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You may eat the bread. Lord, we thank you for this cup. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed for us, that this represents. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the first testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." You may drink the cup. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Lord, we thank you. You did it all for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Lord, 2,000 years ago, you died on a cross. You paid the price for my sins. You paid the price for our sins. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for all things, Lord, that you provide. I pray, Lord, that you'd go with your people, be near them, keep them close to you, keep them focused on you. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.